Accession number 11213, reel 7.
You left the military police, Mr. Lam, to rejoin the battalion on its move to Tientsin. About right. What time would this be?
Round about, say, March or April 1938, round about that time. Couldn't say for sure.
And what was the task of the battalion in Tientsin?
Well, I can't even remember. I know that I finished my duties with the in Shanghai and rejoined the battalion, and we left for Tientsin and Peking. But I can't even remember how we travelled or anything like that. We could have travelled by train, we could have travelled by boat. I can't remember anything like that. I just simply joined the battalion, and we joined up to Tientsin. Now, on arrival at Tientsin, we were billeted in, I think it was huts again, Tientsin. And when we arrived there, as there was no Royal Military Police in Shanghai, when we arrived in Tientsin, I was sent for by the commanding officer again on arrival. As a matter of fact, I was more or less notified before I arrived there on the way that you would be garrison police in Tientsin on arrival. The majority was there. Seeing that I was on touch with the captain, carried the job out of you would be garrison police on a land in Tientsin. I was more expected. I more or less knew that I was garrison police, would be joining garrison, would be taking garrison police duties on a land in Tientsin. Now, we were separated from the battalion again. As far as I'm concerned, I was never with the battalion much in China. I was more or less on police duties.
And they would be similar duties to what you did in Shanghai?
They were the similar duties. Now, you had your regimental police, which for regimental duties, round the barracks, and the garrison police for town duties in place of regimental police. We took regimental police duties over in Tientsin, as there were no Royal Military Police there.
And were there any soldiers of other nationalities in Tientsin?
It's more or less the same. You had the cavalry in Tientsin as well. Not as many as there was in Shanghai. And you had your... Now, in Tientsin, you had your barracks, but we were separated. Away from the barracks area, just approximately outside, well, we were in the area, but we were away from the battalion. And the provost sergeant, we used to be provost sergeant. By the way, I mentioned you also had a provost marshal, Red Cap provost marshal in Shanghai. I forgot to mention this. And it was what you call provost marshal. And my company commander, Captain Johnson, used to do that job in Shanghai, provost marshal. He used to come down and visit and everything all right and check on everything and all this do that. include the whole promo marshal, what's it called? Promo marshal. Well, there was a sergeant promo marshal up there, promo sergeant in charge of us. We called him, he was called Coleman, Daddy Coleman, well known. And we used to call him Snakey. That was his nickname. I don't know why. He was a good lad. And we also had that. So we relieved the Lancashire Fusiliers in Tinsley. I remember that. It's funny that I couldn't remember who the Lancashire, but when he lived in Lancashire Fusiliers. Because they were still there when we went there. And so it was arranged somehow for us to go round with these Lancashire Fusiliers, previous garrison policemen, who were the Lancashire Fusiliers garrison police, arranged for us to get to know the area with them before they left, which we did. Showed around the patrols, what the Germans did, the Shaddai, showed us the area. This is what to watch. The place is what you have. Various points where you have to keep your eyes open. Point the bad places, the various where to expect anything happening. So we got to know this. And then we used to pay up and go out in twos. It was about a dozen. It wasn't as big as that, wasn't quarter as big as Mary as Shandar. And just the various cavaliers and bars and whatnot. Go around just the same we did Shandar. It was a very various incident.
Did you experience any brutality towards some of the men or prisoners that you would take in at all?
No. Well, there was some funny things used to happen. Once, now the Navy used to come ashore there, the Navy was in Shanghai, in Tintin. As a matter of fact, the Cumberland was in Shanghai when we were there. The Navy was almost there. Now the Navy was in Shanghai, in Tintin as well. Can't say what boats they were, but they were good boats. Now we used to get the sailors all this well there. And the Italian. And the French just the same. It's not the world in Shanghai. And because you had your Frenchmen there, you had your French there, you had your Italian there, just the same as Shanghai. So of course I couldn't. You had your what you call what was it now? The consulate. The consulate. You had the English consulate up there. Oh, what? Something like that. English consulate, I should think it was. And he was there. But then you have Pekin. Now we had a company up at Pekin. He used to be up there for certain duties. Couldn't say much about that. Maybe because of the duties or something, but that's how it was. And while we were in Tintin, we had a few dues, like with various with Navy men, and not what to call to the extent as what used to happen. Shanghai. And everything went off very decent, very well. And a funny experience there with the sailor. He got a bit nasty. So, me and my pal were just right. Rather for the Navy Patrol. Of course, the Navy Patrol used to be out as well, but we used to get in touch with the naval boat somehow, I don't know how it was. Remember, used to send the Liberty boat out, you know, get up the Liberty. and he used to come and pick him up. Well, what we did, we used to take him down to the wharf side, and river side, boat used to go down. Well, this chap, he was really nasty. And he made a dash for me, he said, so I just tipped him up, and he finished up in the water. I said, just pick him up and take him away. That was one funny experience. Another one, I'm going out. He used to be trees going in the street detention. And I was walking along one day with my pal. Here's a chap sail up there, singing his head up. Blind drunk. Well, he's not right now. And come on down, you silly beggar, and down there. I said to the big good, say, you find some of the gates in there. So I went and I said, just that, juggling me, what the hell are you doing up there? What the devil are you doing up there like that? Come on, just get yourself down. Meanwhile, my mate came back with two of his gates in there and said, get him down, get him away, will you? Anyway, managed to get him down. He was harmless. Wasn't called, he's what you call happy go looking, you know, having a bender. But his mate said, we look after him, pal. Don't worry. We look after him. Like that and stuff.
It would be coming to late 1938. Had you any inkling that war was close?
Well, as far as I'm concerned, I think we had. Because we'd heard about all this business going on. When it was coming to 1930, Hitler doing. And we used to talk amongst ourselves. And it was a funny thing. It happened with me being on Garrison Peace. It was me and a chap called Pickard, who was on Garrison Police with me. I always remember his name. But as Mr. Moses knows, I've shown him two photos taken there, where I'm taken on a guard of honour. Our battalion was providing the guard of honour parade for the French Commanding Chief of French General Leclerc. Now, it's a funny thing. I can't even remember this period. And I wouldn't have known, I wouldn't have thought anything about it, unless it hadn't been for these folders, which I happen to have. I can't even remember it. The parade. And if it hadn't been for the two photos I have, which I've shown Mr. Moses, I wouldn't have been able to talk to you about this.
This was November 1938.
October 1938. Was the guard of honour for the general. And I've shown the newspaper taking them in the Tintin Times. You've seen it in the album I have of the general inspecting the parade of the Guard of Honour with the colours. Haven't you?
Did
No, then the march past took place and the general took the suit and I'm standing within a couple of feet of the general on his right hand side and my pals on the left hand side, and I'm the only one who happened to come out to end the photo with the dignitaries on the rostrum on the saluting base, taking the march back, and I'm standing there with the general. Also, the same thing happened a month later, November, Armistice Day parade. I'm on again. Armistice Day parade. The Navy, the whole lot, I'm on the rostrum again. I'm wearing the slacks for the General Leslie parade. Well, I'm wearing putties for the Armistice Day parade, as Mr. Moses has seen. And that was, I never thought then that I myself would be at war in the desert 9 months after that parade took place. I was at war in the desert. I never expected that. That was the last parade ever taken until after the Second World War finished.
As the as 1939 came in and the war clouds gathered, did that affect training in any way?
Well,
was there any war preparation for war training?
Oh, yes, 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 yes. Well, the thing is this, when the war broke out, as a matter of fact, I don't know how it happened, but this is where your signal came into force. Now this is where the NABNY was my signal train. I was sent for, lad. We need, you should be able to use your, what you call, your plug-in. We call it out. Telephone exchange. Battalion telephone exchange. It was about, just about 10 lines. The battalion and the brigadier, everyone was in contact. Now this, I was sent for, then you have to come off that job. Telephone exchange. We'll show you how to do it. You'll be able to do it. It's simple. And it was. Quite simple. I said, by Christ, I do touch for them, don't I? Out of the blue. Now he says, the telephone next was a small room. I had to sign the paper. Anything of importance that came over that phone, I had not divulged any.
Did anything come over?
I was one of the first ones to hear the war being declared over that phone.
What was then?
A funny thing happened on the phone as well. Now I used to get. Brigadier ring it up. Well, he didn't ring up. The battalion's command officer would ring up. Someone else would ring up. I can't remember exactly how it worked, but I used to have to pass messages to John through this exchange from one, just like this, doing the telephone. I was just simply instructed how to do it, and it was simple. So there was one, the lads, had a bunk of my own, and I can't remember if there was anyone else with me, whether it was split duties or not like that. I can't remember that. But I know that the lads used to take the mickey out of me, my mates, because I'd be just lying nice and easy, reading a book probably, anything like that. And fall of a drink. What time is it, Chelsea? So I say, look here. Get off that bloody phone. Get off immediately. If I find out who you are, you fella. Well, this happened once, and I said that back to the safety before that, I said, before, and that's who it was, now I said, bugger up, once again, do you realise who you're speaking to? He said, what's your name? He says, well, this is a brigadier speaking. Well, I says, I'm very sorry, sir, but as it is, the lad, there's one just ran up a couple of minutes ago. Well, the lad's asking what time it was, and I've just done the bugger off all this, and I thought, this day man come back. Right, now he said, in future, you make sure who you're speaking to before you answer.
So when war was declared, Mr. Lamb, what were your own personal feelings, realising that you may well be taking part in some actions in the relatively near future?
Well, as a matter of fact, we had no idea what war was, had we? But we trained for it. We were supposed to be prepared for it. Prepared, that's what we joined up for, that's what we were there for. In case war broke out.
Did you feel that you were well trained for what was to come?
Well, we were all paraded, and within 4 or 5 weeks we were on our way. And I can remember, this is one thing I can remember, the way we travelled was on a Jardine steamer. It wasn't a naval boat. It was a Jardine Matheson steamer. I don't know, just about hell of a valley. And we were travelling down the Yangtze, or wherever it was. It could have been the Yellow River, I don't know. And it was dark, and I happened to be standing on the deck. And all of a sudden, we were lit up, absolutely lit up with it. It was more like a, you know, what they use for aircraft, searchlight. Just like it happened to be a Japanese gunboat. Who are you? Gonna be blown out of bloody water before the bloody water starts. That was one experience I'll never forget. We were lit up by Japanese gunboat with a searchlight. It was dark. I happened to be standing on the deck at the time.
And the boat took you to Egypt?
The boat took us all the way to Kowloon, Hong Kong.
And how long were you there?
Now, we ended up in Kowloon. Now, Hong Kong was just opposite. Now, this is where it falls again. I drop for it every time. Now, in Kowloon, there was no such things as running hot water, anything like that. It was, I'm talking about 50 years ago, over. Kowloon wasn't what it is at the present day. He's knocking it. As far as I understand now, that it's a new city. Well, we'd billet it in open space, tents, whatnot. The Glengyle in there being converted into a troop ship. From the Glengyle boats. I think it was the Glengyle. So we'll be here for about a couple of months. And lad, your Sawyer stove man providing hot water. That says I've bloody well clicked again. Sawyer stoves used to, you know, like drums and, you know, the old Sawyer stoves for boiling hot water. I used them with the cadets and civvies. So that's your job, provide that water for the. What's the purpose? So what's the magician? You know what? You provide that water.
So you did that all the time you were in Hong Kong?
All the time in Kowloon.
Kowloon. How long were you there?
Just about 5 or 6 weeks. Now, of course, I just used to provide that water, and then when it was finished, I just had the fire lit in it. Lighted again. Say the thing's wrong. I don't know where the hell I got the water from yet. I can't remember where I got the water from. I'd have been alert. I don't know. Because the Doon, Hong Kong, the Doon River just culled over to one side, Hong Kong to the other side of the river. And I myself ruled out our trip over to Hong Kong if we fancied one. And I went all about tours and times myself. It was a place I never liked, it seemed to be overcrowded. I didn't care for Hong Kong much. Well, it was not crowded, there was absolutely nothing. And we were just more or less in camp.
Were you doing any training?
No training, but we were just waiting on the boat, ready to take us forward. But waiting on the Glen guy was there, being converted into a troop ship. What's it? There was quite a few of them getting on Glen guy boats, you know. And so we were there about 5 or 6 weeks. And then, right, pack up, one hour away, off, ended up in Portside. No, yes, ended up in Portside, or Port Jewett, whatever it was. And I landed in Moasca, my company, your company. I was doing your company.
This will be around about January, February 1940.
Pardon?
This was about the January, February of 1940.
Yes, round about then. Maybe before.
And what did you do in Moasca?
It might have been before then, I think. Anyway, I can tell you the exact date. Round about 1939, when we left, the beginning of 1940s. Round about 1940s, beginning of 1940s. And we landed in Ismailia. And there were bulletin bullets. Now, when we landed in Ismailia, so again, Lamb, the storm stored over there, the storm. The little fella called Titchy Wells was my assistant. I said, what the hell is that? You know, I always seem to.
You're just given jobs without any training, in effect. You're just given the job to do.
But storm and lamp over there, revolvers and everything. In charge of. Boots. But I still have to do my training. That's one thing I never got away with. Right, lock them up. You're on a 50-mile route march tomorrow. From here to Port Said. I wasn't excused or anything like that. I had to do my training. Right? He says, man, you're still doing your training. You'll not do any guards, have you? But you'll do it straight. You've got to keep them. So all I know is about that. No stores opened about. And a 50-mile route march tomorrow.